I guess you must be able to hear me. It's good to see each one out this evening. We trust that the Lord will bless His Word as we look at it together. We might turn, please, to the book of Philippians, chapter 1. The book of Philippians, chapter 1. The theme tonight is in verse 5, your fellowship in the gospel. Your fellowship in the gospel. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, insomuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. Just bow for a word of prayer. Father, we thank thee for this time together tonight. We thank thee for the wonderful care that we enjoy in all the difficult things of life. How we thank thee, Father, that even though we are not spared the difficulties of life, what a wonder that you are with us through them all, that you lift us up and carry us on, for which we give thee thanks. We pray, Father, that you'd bless this word now. Give us open ears and hearts to thy word. In Jesus' name, amen. The word fellowship, one of the meanings, is partnership. Is partnership. And we have a great partnership in the gospel. Fact is that we are still partners with the Apostle Paul through this very book that we're reading. And that is a wondrous thing. And wherever we go, we find partners in the gospel. We find those that love the Lord Jesus Christ, who have been saved by his grace and trust in him alone. And so we have this wonderful fellowship. The gospel, of course, speaks of the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered and bled and died for our sins, that he paid the full price for our sins when he hung upon the cross. He finished the work of salvation, and if we believe on him, we have everlasting life. He died, he was buried, he rose again the third day. We have a living Savior. We may call upon him. I find it interesting here, we have the fellowship of the saints here in verse 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi. We know that the local church is God's program in this age for believers. And in Philippi, all the believers in the Lord Jesus Christ were counted in the partnership. And we find also, it says, with the bishops, in plural, and the deacons. The word bishops means overseers. those that guide the work, and the deacons are those really that minister. It may be in various ways that they minister. Sometimes it is taught that they minister mainly as far as material things go, but we know that it simply means minister, and perhaps whatever is needed in the assembly is what is meant by deacons. But anyway, this is a very simple and wonderful fellowship, partnership. Everyone that is saved is, by the word of God, is brought into that fellowship. When we look at the word of God here, it says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Now we have the story in Acts chapter 16, and we might turn there. Acts 16, Philippi was the first place that there was a local church in Europe. And a wonderful talk about the first day is mentioned here in chapter 16. We read in verse 9 of chapter 16, a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go to Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. You see the vitality of the gospel here, that they would preach the gospel unto them. And loosing from Troas, we came a straight course to Samothracia, the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony. We were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted there. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she begot us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. So we see the gospel coming across the Dardanelles and into the area of Macedonia that is called Philippi. That's where we get the word Philippians. And after several days, they met this group of praying Jewish women, like some other passages of Scripture that we find. Apparently they worshipped God, but we understand that they did not know the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul explained the gospel. This woman attended to what he was saying, and the Bible says the Lord opened her heart. Now we've talked of that. I know I've preached on that a lot over the years. The different ways that people are saved. Everyone is saved by coming to Christ. That is the only way to be saved. But sometimes, as we see the Philippian jailer, the next story in chapter 16, we see earthquakes, we see bonds being loosed and prison doors being opened and all kinds of very, very exciting things happening, in which we know the jailer finally comes in trembling, falls on his knees, and cries out, what must I do to be saved? We notice that both he and Lydia and their households were saved and baptized. They were baptized after they were saved. The fact is, very soon after they were saved. So we see them both, Lydia and the Philippian jailer. This was the beginning of a good work from the first day. And apparently, we know there were bishops and we know there were deacons, plurals of both. We know that this meeting, we're not saying it was a large meeting, we're not saying it was a small meeting, but we're saying that there were enough to have a plurality of oversight, and there were a plurality of those that looked after the affairs of the meeting. And so this started from the very first with the preaching of the gospel. Now it's very interesting here as well that in both cases, Lydia and the Philippian jailer, salvation was followed by work. They wanted to help in the gospel. She constrained Paul and Silas to come and stay with her and to receive of her. And we know also, if we read carefully through our passage there with the Philippian jailer, that he too was concerned that there were those that were saved all around them. And then they gathered in this simple way in the very beginning. And so he says, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And it seems that that church had never lost its desire to be a part of the gospel. That is something that is not hard to lose for believers, but it is something that we should guard. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the spreading of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, as Paul went outward on the mission field, he was supported only, we are told, no other church but Philippi supported him in the spreading of the gospel. There is a fellowship in the gospel. There is a partnership in the gospel. We should have our eyes open to things where the gospel is put forward. I think of children's ministry. When I think of this meeting, I think of children's ministry. We think of the camp. We think of children's group meetings and meetings for adults and God. Meetings where the gospel is preached. These are things that we should support with our presence, with any help we can give, encouraging those that we see taking leadership in this area. We can be in fellowship with this great work. There is a need for so many things in the gospel itself. And we ought to have some outreach into the communities. We should have outreach whether there is response from those communities or whether there isn't. There is a need in this day to as a TV, a radio evangelist used to say, putting the go in gospel. It is an important thing. It is a basic thing. And so we see that it was very important in these early days. And today, I believe, even as the hearts of men are made cold by riches and the cares of the world, still it is the gospel that saves. Men that have Jesus Christ in their lives are saved, and God is still saving souls. That work will only end after the 1,000-year millennium of Christ. We as the church, it could end for us tonight. The gospel will still be preached. We read of those in the tribulation who washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. That salvation is still a primary message, and it is still something to be supported. When we know the gospel will be preached, the believers should be there. I remember those speaking of the beginning of the work of Montague back in the late 40s and 50s, when an evangelist would stand in the street corner, and I remember Sven using these words, in Montague and Surrey, and I'm sure in Charlottetown and all over. He said, and so and so and so and so stood with us. Stood with us. How important all of that work is. The Bible says here, from the beginning, and it is very exciting, the beginning. Now we know that there is not, the gospel is very much established in our land, and yet there are a lot of people that have no idea of the gospel because they're dead in sins. They're dead, and so they're blind, they're deaf. Imagine telling a dead man something, and sometimes we think, well, my goodness, what's the point? They're all dead. But it is the gospel that makes men come alive. That Philippian jailer, the Lord dealt quick and harsh with him, but put him down. And these men sang songs of Jesus Christ at midnight in the midst of their pain and bonds in jail. How vital it is from the first day until now. Paul said it wasn't just in establishing the work. It's not having, say, evangelistic Bible studies or outdoor meetings or sending out tracts or personally speaking to people at work and so on a more personal level. It's not just doing that in the beginning to see something set up, and then whenever you have a little group, then you just forget all about it. They had a fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. All through the years. Of course, that is so vital. Again, I think of the work of the camp and some of these things where we have openings for children who have souls. Someone was saying to me the other day, they said, you know, Bob, nobody knows who the youngest soul is that is in hell. Nobody knows who the youngest soul is in hell. I've always thought of it kind of the other way, where you have a time when someone becomes responsible to be saved. We can say, oh, well, I believe it's 8 years old. I remember one time someone saying, well, it's probably the age that the Levites began to work in the temple, about 25. I don't believe that is so. Nobody knows who the youngest child is that is in hell. So children's work is very vital. By the way, I might say that it is amazing to find out some of the people that I know that were saved later on in life. So it's pretty hard to say it is no use to spare the gospel to the old. Well, many old have been saved. There are many, many important works, and we can be often slow to pick up on these opportunities that we have. But we're thankful for those things that we could do even corporately. And we find that there is always ways to support that work in one way or another. We are in a great fellowship. We're working on something that is not ended yet. It is something that goes on and on. May we carry on in these things. It's interesting, too, that he speaks of them. I believe that this is about 10 years later. He says, "For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day till now, being confident of this very thing, that he which began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." God is doing a great work among his people. You know, I used to think that most people that were saved, for example, were saved from the outside of our meeting. But you know something? Generally speaking, a lot of times people are saved in Christian homes. Most of the leaders among the Lord's people come out of Christian homes. It's a great evangelistic area there. I know in my own case, even though I did not know it when I was lost and the Holy Spirit brought me under conviction of sin when I was 18, but through those years, the gospel had been presented to me. And that's a great heritage to have. But that doesn't mean that we don't reach out with the gospel beyond ourselves. Let's not forget the gospel amongst ourselves or the gospel outside of our meeting. But to, in every case, in every time, to carry on this great work that he has begun inside of us. When I was saved, it changed my whole viewpoint of the world. And at that time, I remember even thinking very much in a very selfish way about my own needs and my own problems. And when I had come to the Lord Jesus Christ, it was the greatest news. I thought, my goodness, the people up home are going to just be so glad to hear this gospel. The people I go to school with wasn't quite like that. Several did get saved, and praise the Lord, that they were probably worked on from 1,000 different directions. We're all part of a great partnership. And our fellowship is with the Lord in that great work. Our fellowship is with the Lord. When you speak at somebody at work, dear knows who is speaking to them. I was talking to young folks the other day, and they were telling me how that in the rock music, in the rock groups, so many of these young people had Christian homes. They came out of Christian homes. Many of them turned against the gospel. But nonetheless, it wouldn't be surprising to know that several that I know have come to the Lord. They seem to, yes, be brought up with the gospel, then turned away from it for a number of years into deep and miserable sin, realizing the frustrations and the sinfulness of sin from praying parents and grandparents. Then coming back to the Lord Jesus Christ. These are things that happen. We are part of a partnership. And I know in prayer, that is so important as well. When we look at the passage of Scripture here, though, when he talks of the fellowship of the gospel, he's not only speaking of getting the message out, say, with literature, which I believe is very important, or telling people about the gospel. But also, as you read the book of Philippians, there's a tremendous emphasis on holy living. That people need to see a difference. And so it seems that while the theme here is the fellowship of the gospel, also we have Paul doing things. He says, "I have you in my heart. I have you in my heart," the believers. We need to guard our attitude towards the believers. It's rather a sad thing that we can become almost opposed to the work of God because of our attitude towards believers. And we need to be careful of that. He says, I have you in my heart. I have you in my heart. You are all partakers of my grace, in verse 7. You're partakers of my strength. The grace that holds me up helps to hold you up. And I believe that is true. Sometimes we may feel that, well, I would sooner be up front. If I was up front, I'd have a reason to go to meeting, maybe. But really, in the support of one another, we need one another's grace. We need the strength from that believer and that believer. It is vital to us. All the saints, with the bishops and deacons, you are in my heart. I long, verse 8, after you all, in the mercies of Jesus Christ. The tender mercies, that's a word in the King James's bowels, the tender mercies. How vital this is, and it's important to the gospel. Behold how they love one another. That is an important thing. We know that. The Bible says, I have you in my heart, insomuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye are partakers of my grace. Paul could say, here I am in chains. You'd think that would be discouraging everybody. Here's someone who's taken a stand for the gospel, has been in a difficult situation, and there are negative things that happen sometimes when you take a stand for the gospel. But then he says in verse 12, I would have you to understand, brethren, that the things which happened to me have fallen out rather to the furtherance of the gospel. How important it is as we find strength in the Lord to deal with, as we were singing, to know Jesus cares. To be able to sing the songs of Zion in prison as Paul was. The things that have happened unto me have fallen out unto the furtherance of the gospel. My bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. You said this had a tremendous influence and impact. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Satan has two ways of effective ways of working. One is from the inside, the other is from the outside. But I believe over the years he's found out something, but it doesn't stop him from using it in about at least two-thirds of the world. And that is that he attacks the people of God from the outside. The amazing thing is where he attacks the people of God, the church prospers. There are thousands and tens of thousands of people saved every year. Generally speaking, in the third world, the second world, it is wonderful what the Lord is doing. The other place that he works is in the midst of the Lord's people. There very often he is much more effective. And so he can use me. And he can use you. We need to have a life lived for Jesus Christ. That is very important. In my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. I believe that the gospel is something today which gets a very, very much turned around. And what can happen is that we can lose the gospel altogether. The preaching of the gospel. The assemblies of God are perhaps one of the very few places where we have series of gospel meetings. I don't say that to be proud. I remember when I was a young person, I was taken to gospel meetings every year. I believe that there is a great turning away from the gospel, the pure gospel. That men are lost and need to be saved. And very often things are turned more to psychology and other things. The gospel needs to be confirmed. It needs to be defended. We say, well, it is a lie and just let it go. Yes. Well, if that's the way you defend it, with a good offense, go to it. But it sure needs to be defended. These things are vital in these days that we live in. If I might, just in the last few minutes, Paul talks about his philosophy of life. And I would like to believe, and I don't choose these verses for my life verse simply because, I'm no Apostle Paul. He said in verse 21 in this passage, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." When we're talking of fellowship in the gospel, that is rather the bottom line, isn't it? If I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. To abide in the flesh, he says in verse 24, is more needful for you. Having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you in your furtherance and joy of faith. That your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. In other words, he said, you know what it is for me to live is to encourage you believers at Philippi. That is what my life is if I live. To preach the gospel itself and to reach out and build up the people of God. I believe that is really for us all. If we want someone to preach the gospel, what better thing than to stand alongside of him? While we cannot boast of numbers, and I do not come here because of numbers or go to Montague or anywhere because of numbers, but I will tell you this as a preacher, that very often if there are numbers, it's like waving a red flag in front of a bull. You get my attention, and you get the best enemy. You should get the best anyway. And I try, but I could tell you if it's effectual. There is a part that a preacher plays, there is a part that the people of God play. And it is the same no matter what, if you're working in Awana or you're working a camp. These are things that sometimes they are very present. Will greatly encourage the ones upon whose shoulder the main part of the work depends. And so we, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. But the Bible says here, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. What would be the only thing better than serving the Lord's people and serving our communities with the gospel? What is it? To be with Christ. A old believer, he was 92, was at his funeral yesterday, Harold Ockendorf. And one thing about Harold, and my wife and I both both said this. We never saw anyone that was so anxious to be with the Lord. It wasn't for his wife. He dearly hated to leave her. But he had nothing left here as far as he was concerned. He lived to work. His motto of life was kind of, why sit if you could stand? Why stand if you can walk? Why walk if you can run? And generally he ran as long as he could run. And that's how he worked. But you know that he would say over and over and over again, he would say, I am ready for the Lord to take me anytime, anytime. Funny how the Lord, I think in a way, as we grow older, kind of cuts a few cords here and there so that we're ready to go to be with him. And isn't that the greatest fellowship in the gospel really of all? Is that one day together? I know some of us are getting our hair is turning gray or white. And by the way, that's not the only kind that go to be with the Lord either. But nonetheless, it is a great thing that we shall be with Christ. It's far better. And then I think that there is a generation of those, and maybe us, tonight, who would be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. The dead would be raised, incorruptible. And we shall be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord Jesus in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. The church altogether. Her great theme, a fellowship in the gospel, will be caught up. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Resurrected. And we shall be changed. As we look at this passage, I pray it may be an encouragement to you. I find this a very encouraging book. The book of Philippians. May the Lord bless you. May you rejoice in him. And may it make you to not only rethink the sharing of the gospel through word, rather written or spoken, but also our care for the other partners in our great work. And of course, for those who are perishing without a Savior. Maybe you're here tonight and you have not received the Lord Jesus Christ as your own Savior. Maybe if the Lord Jesus would come tonight, you would be left behind. Or maybe you do not understand that there are those that are saved and those that are lost. But you do not know for sure that if you were to die today that you would go to heaven. You should look into that. It would be wonderful to be saved. It is a great fellowship. Whether the Lord would simply open your heart to those things that are said, or whether the Lord would bring you to a place of trembling. A place of trembling before his judgment. And the results of your sin. Let's just have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful fellowship of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, keep us keen. Keep us, lest we use a word that's so overused, but Lord, help us to keep us excited of what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Open our hearts to mercy, that we might have mercy on the Lord's people, that we would stand with the gospel, whatever age it is given. We just thank thee, Father, for the men and women of this assembly, the saints of God, with the bishops and the deacons, all the saints of God. May we see ourselves as the part of the puzzle the Lord has made That first day, he spoke to our hearts. Happy day. Happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Just give us that attitude, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.